In the four stumbling blocks to truth, as written in the 13th century by Roger Bacon. First of these stumbling blocks to truth is the influence of fragile or unworthy authority. Somebody says something, look back at their record, get something else about them than the mere statement from them before you'll take it, before you'll believe it. Two, second of the stumbling blocks to truth, custom. Saying something because everybody's saying it. Saying something because you're told to say it. Saying something because the gang you're traveling with says it. Doing something because everybody's doing it. Fear of being a lone seeker by yourself. At various points in Remembrance Rock, I dealt with the theme of human loneliness. How, if you know how to use it, there are values to loneliness. There are times for the modern American youth to be saying, with reference to all of these new accessories of culture, the radio, the movies, television, there are the times to say, if you know your own mind and heart, and if you know how to use your own loneliness, there are times to say, the hell with them all. There were great lives lived, and there were some of the finest of human souls before these modern devices came. Their main aim being entertainment, their main aim being to waste your time. You have to wait for something priceless, and when it comes along, you can't do as you can with a book. You can't turn the pages back. You can't take it down from the shelf any time you need it. Be suspicious of these modern devices with relation to your personality. I know fellas that have heard 200 or 300 Jack Benny shows and they still go on listening. Just a habit, just a dirty, cheap habit. Gotta have that dope on Sunday night, gotta have that dope. I got used to it. Ed Murrow on the radio, yes. University of Chicago round table, yes. WILL, I spent many, many hours with it at my Lake Michigan home. I could get it there, one of the things I missed down in North Carolina. I wish WILL was from coast to coast, if it was a network. Of course, I know it would bother some people to listen for a whole hour, like I did one time, to Mr. Metcalf, the entomologist authority here, on the chinchworm. He made the chinchworm fascinating. He put in 5 or 10 minutes on the love life of the chinchworm. I don't know, but what I'd rather be a chinchworm than Joe McCarty. No, but I'm referring to these programs and shows that just are adapted to the lowest common denominator. And always preceding and always closing their services. And punctuating across the middle, and oftener than that, punctuating it with the commercial. Buy this, buy that, buy these, those, them. You can't live without this. Things, things, you ain't got enough things in your life, and these. These things we're telling you about, you gotta have them, you gotta have them. Custom. Listening to what millions are listening to. 3/3 of these stumbling blocks to truth. The imperfection of undisciplined senses which accept uncorroborated data as valid. Yeah, there are people who don't have as good of as good an eyesight as they think they have. Eyesight, yes. But an eyesight that doesn't have the gift of seeing. Part of the purpose of an education is all your teachers are trying to do something about your eyes and your ears. And what they register to, and what your minds might do with those registrations. I remember when I had a desk in a newspaper office right next to that of a music critic. And I used to find myself looking at his ears. Those very peculiar appendages fastened to his skull. I used to think of what a responsibility lay on those ears. I used to wonder what 1,000 concerts had done to those ears. Whether the thousands of crescendos that they had heard, and the thousands of diminishing diminuendos that they had heard, whether the wear and tear of that had done anything to the ears. And I asked him one time whether every night he prayed to God that those two organs of hearing fastened one each at the side of the head, that they'd be as good tomorrow as today. And the last of all of these is perhaps the simplest of all of them, of the stumbling blocks to truth. Concealment of ignorance by ostentation of seeming wisdom. I remember one time meeting Kenneth Parker, the maker of the 51 pen. And he had happened to be in the office of Time magazine in New York. And he sees a fellow in one of the corridors walking back and forth. One of the sub-editors or writers walking back and forth, wailing. I don't know. God help me, I don't know. You see, on Time magazine, you gotta know. The oldest and the best philosophers that we have said, I don't know, more often than they said, I'll tell you, like that clerk in The big new hotel in Cleveland, Ohio, where some convention of American learned societies was meeting. Some internationally known scientist comes to the desk and says to the clerk, do you have an Encyclopedia Britannica? Very dapper, clerk. No, we don't have the Britannica, but what is it you'd like to know? Perhaps I could offer, first of all, a song that originated among the boys under Leon Henderson, who was the first head of the Office of Price Administration. The OPA as distinguished from the WPA. Champaign County Hemp. These boys thought that the OPA needed a song, and so they made a song, a little song. They had a prophecy at the end of it, and time has proven their prophecy correct. We'll save a barrel of none. We'll lick the crisis. Inflation's on the run. Boom, ta-ra, ta-ra-ra. Ye housewives, don't you sigh. Or we'll roll back the prices in a pig's left eye. And over in Britain, when that social scientist Beveridge, having nothing to do with beer, when he gave to the United Kingdom his elaborate and intricate project for providing security for every man, woman, and child in the United Kingdom, from the cradle to the grave, and as some said, from womb to tomb. There was in the House of Commons a wit and a writer of light verse, A.P. Herbert. And he did the best that he could with these two verses set to an old Irish tune. It be wonderful after the war. There won't be no rich and there won't be no poor. We'll all get a pension about 24. And we won't have to work if we find it a bore. Oh, won't it be wonderful after the war? There won't be no sick and there won't be no sore. The beer will be quicker and better and more. And there's only one avenue I'd like to explore. Oh, why didn't we have this old war before? And perhaps I could give here tonight an old Illinois pioneer song. Out of the 1830s, probably known to Lincoln about the time that he moved from New Salem over to Springfield. I'm dedicating this to Mr. and Mrs. Randall and my old compatriot, Bruce Weirich. We had last night eating and talking. Eating and talking, that's as far as I'll go, till 3 o'clock in the morning. Both Mr. Weirich and Mr. Randall have been of help to me in some things that I have done, just been of incalculable help, and it's been a long time fellowship. And if this should prove to be my farewell tour of Illinois, you'll remember I said that here. Way down upon the Wabash, such land was never known. If Adam had passed over it, the soil he'd surely own. He'd think it was the garden he played in when a boy, and straight pronounce it Eden in the state of Illinois. Then move your family westward, bring all your girls and boys, and cross that Shawnee Ferry to the state of Illinois. Was here the Queen of Sheba came with Solomon of old, with an ass load of spices, pomegranates, and fine gold. And when she saw this lovely land, her heart was filled with joy. Straightway she said, I'd like to be a queen in Illinois. She's bounded by the Wabash, the Ohio, and the lake. She's crawfish in the swampy lands, the milksick and the shakes. But these are slight diversions, and take not from the joy of living in this garden land, the state of Illinois. Then move your family westward, bring all your girls and boys, and cross that Shawnee Ferry to the state of Illinois. And in the original version of that, there are 14 more verses. And none of them fail to mention the excellent qualities of the soil and the climate. Out of the 1870s, we have a song about a craft, a ship known as a timber drover. They would load the raw timber at the western ports and take them to the eastern ports on Lake Erie. It was one October morning that I seen a wondrous sight. Was the timber drover Bigelow a-hailin' from Detroit? Watch her, catch her, jump up in her joo-joo-pa-joo. Give her the sheet and let her go with the boys to see her through. You should've heard her howlin' when the wind was blowin' free. Was on the trip to Buffalo from Milwaukee. As a climactic word, you can't do much with Milwaukee. The Schlitz people have ruined it for us. Perhaps I could offer an oddity out of Remembrance Rock. Two songs that were sung by two British officers who were brothers, riding in a stage wagon between Stamford, Connecticut and Providence, Rhode Island. With skin as white as snow, hair as brown as a berry, with eyes as black as a sloe and a lips as a red as a cherry. Sing rousy, tousy, rantum, scantum, laugh and lie down is the play. We'll cuddle together to keep out the weather and kiss the cold winter away. Kiss, kiss the cold winter away. Another of the songs is about a country bumpkin who fell into a lot of money and went on up to London. He couldn't read or write, but he could wear clothes, and he had a way with the ladies. He bows and struts with modish swing, and the ladies cry he is quite the thing. He is neat the thing and complete the thing, and the ladies cry he is quite the thing. He bows and struts with modish swing, and the ladies cry he is quite the thing. And perhaps we could have a chorus that comes along in the epilogue. There are 42 verses to this song. It was very popular at the headquarters of Lieutenant General Carl Spatz of the ETO Air Force. By the time they get through with those 42 verses, you know what kind of a woman Aunt Clara was. It is said that no one person knows all 42 of the verses, but everybody around the headquarters knew the chorus, and they would join in. Oh, we never mention Aunt Clara. Her picture is turned toward the wall, though she lives on the French Riviera. Mother says she is dead to us all. And I think perhaps there's about an equal amount of sophistication in two little verses that I first heard in some tall hills around Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Hello, girls, listen to my voice. Don't you never marry no good-for-nothing boys. If you do, your doom shall be hoe cake, hominy, and sassafras tea. When a young man falls in love, first it's honey and then turtle dove. After he's married, no such thing. Get up and get my breakfast, you're good for nothing thing. And perhaps I could close with a little arrangement of Negro spirituals. The years have passed and the decades have passed in my life, and I've never lost my interest in that body of music known as the Negro spirituals. Lines having a majestic poetry. I walk in the moonlight, I walk in the starlight, allee, this body down. I walk in the moonlight, I walk in the starlight, allee, this body down. I go to judgment in the evening of the day when I live. This body down. Paul and Silas bound in jail all night long. One for to sing and the other for to pray all night long. One for to sing and the other for to pray all night long. Do, Lord, deliver me. Never seen the likes inside and barn all night long. People keep a coming and the train done gone all night long. People keep a coming and the train done gone all night long. Do, Lord, deliver me. Ezekiel weep, Ezekiel moan, flesh come a-creeping off Ezekiel's bone. Church, I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. When I'm gone, gone, gone. When I'm gone to come no more. Church, I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Know that your mother done born to die. Chillin', I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. When I'm gone, gone, gone. When I'm gone to come no more. Chillin', I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Well, as I said earlier, your faces have been good to me. We've been here nearly 2 hours now. We've got all night. But I thank you from my heart.